also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, I wrote some things down, too, about the trip. And, you know, just some things that I want to give you. Number one, diversions are often from God. Diversions are often from God. Sometimes you'd have to take a detour in life to get where you're going, but God might be in that. And, you know, we didn't plan to go to Miami, Washington, D.C., or New York City on this trip. We had no plan, but it might be that there is a reason why God diverted us off. And, you know, we all have these even little diversions in life. You hit the red light when you want the green light. And we don't always know what God does. But there are many times in life that God will divert you for a purpose and a reason. And you know, we just have to be cognizant. We have to be aware spiritually of that. And we have to be patient when that happens. The last thing I wanted to do was sleep in an airport all night in Miami. That was the last thing any of the group wanted to do, but we had to be patient and we had to see that diversion is from God, okay? The next thing is the devil will fight the scripture. The devil will fight the scriptures. Whenever you try to do something using the word of God, the devil is going to fight and battle. And you know what it ought to do to us? It ought to put us in us a greater determination to get the gospel to people. Amen? It ought not discourage us. It ought to put in us a something that says, oh, okay, devil, if you're going to fight this hard, guess what? I'm going to work all the harder to see it accomplished and see it get done. I had three John Romans in my backpack that I had. I don't know how they got in there. I had three. And you know what? I wanted to make sure that even those three got out. Those last three, that they got out. Why? Because you never know. But the devil's going to fight every scripture. But God blesses it at the same time. And so very important. Next thing is, a good spirit is a vital thing when it comes to missions. And I think Brother Bingham hit this on the head. It was such a good group, such a good spirit. It was a wonderful time. You can serve the Lord and have a good time at the same time. And it should be that way because there's a lot of joy in serving the Lord Jesus. And I commend every one of you for your good spirit. Another thing is I'm thankful for the use of technology. You know, Brother Bingham, he had to get on his phone and change every flight for 8 people. And let me tell you something, that is a hard process, but he could do it on his phone or go to the desk. And, you know, we could talk back and forth by WhatsApp, but, you know, and then there's times when the technology didn't work and you're sitting there thinking, I need to communicate. And, you know, we take it for granted here, but in many places they don't have it. And when you do have it, it's a blessing to be able to use it for God. Amen. And so I thank God for the use of technology. You know, the missionaries of old, they couldn't get on a phone and call. You know, when William Carey left, he went for years and would get a letter every once in a while. And he would send a letter back every once in a while. It'd take 3 months to get there on a ship. And so you can imagine, we can text. If you have a Wi-Fi, you can text somebody. And they'll get that text in a completely different country. And sometimes, amen. But thank God for technology and it's to be used for the Lord. I learned this also. Everybody has a talent and an ability that God can use. Right. Everybody has something that you can use. You know, we went there, they had a teenage boy. The Bruners have a teenage boy. And he's into basketball. Well, we got Cooper here. He's into basketball. And those two boys started talking to basketball, you know? And just, he had something in common that he could use. Brother Gonzalez, he uses Spanish. Man, we'd be lost in the jungle right now if it weren't for Brother Gonzalez. I'm telling you. Brother Gonzo, ask him this. He said, I don't know how. And then he said, blah, 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 blah. So don't tell me you don't know how. You just said it, you know? And he rattled it off, and man, we actually ate and survived thanks to Brother Gonzalez, amen? And I'll tell you, it came in handy sometime because, I mean, all I knew was taco, burrito, and enchilada. Yeah. You know, that was it. And but he had something that God used, and it was a blessing. Brother Bingham, he's a technology guy. Amen? And man, he knows, do this, preacher, on your phone. And I say, show me how. Amen? But he knows all kinds of stuff and all kinds of different ways that can be used and helpful. And I've learned this. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're willing to be used, God can use you in some way. Amen? And so I took that away from that. The next one is that missionaries need help. Missionaries need help. You don't understand all of the things that a missionary has to do. And it gets complicated in foreign countries. And you're dealing with people of different understandings, different languages. And even if you know the language, sometimes the thinking is just different. And so you have to be patient and, you know, but they need help. Just think, there would be nobody there at Brother Hernandez Church to really lead had Brother Bruner not been there. Think of that. And somebody who knew Portuguese and could preach. And they have good men in their church. I don't know if they're called to preach or not, though. But I tell you, God used the Bruners and God brought them there at the right time for that church. And so missionaries need help. Just little things you do for them. We bought one of the boys a basketball shirt and some hats for the boys, the little ones and the candy. It just lets them know that they're not forgotten too as the kids of missionaries. And I learned that. Next thing is giving is more fulfilling than receiving. Giving is more fulfilling than receiving. Sometimes it hurts to give, but when you see the fruit and the blessing of it, you realize that life is not in money. It's in what you do with what you have. And giving is so much better. The Bible is true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's so true. The next thing I learned is that you can be a blessing in an amazing way by helping somebody get to a mission field that could not afford it on their own. And we've had some needs met by folks who helped others financially get there. And it's something they'll never forget the rest of their life. And that's worth knowing that you had an impact in somebody's life. Amen. Next thing I learned is missionaries need fellowship. They were soaking it in. They wanted us to come over to their house almost all the meals. And I'm a pastor. I want to take them out. Right? We'll take you out. And they're like, no, come over to the house. We want to cook for you. We want to, you know, give you all this stuff. We want to be a blessing to you. We didn't go over there to be a to receive a blessing. We went over there to be a blessing. And in return, they were a blessing to us. And that fellowship is what needed. And you know what they told me? In all the years they were in Brazil, I was the first pastor that supported them that came and saw their work. Now, I'm not blaming or criticizing other preachers. Sometimes it's busy and or they can't afford it or whatever, you know. But I'll tell you what. They needed that. They needed that. They needed somebody to come, just be there. And, you know, on the last night, they opened up a little bit more to us and just talked to us about their needs and their burdens. And it helps us to know them a little bit better. Amen. And, you know, when you see a missionary come to church behind the platform, it's a whole different thing than when you go to the field where they're at and actually see the missionary in action. It's a whole different thing. I mean, you see a whole different side. You see that they are normal people. Amen? And the next thing I learned is Colombian coffee is pretty good, but it's not as good as African. Yes. I did learn that. Amen? And I did bring some Colombian back. So anyway, but here's the last one I want you to see. Look at verse 25. Notice it again. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God in heaven lives so he can make intercession for that lost soul. That is what Jesus is doing in heaven right now. He is waiting for the lost soul to come to God, to come to Jesus, to God, and they come to God through Jesus. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, isn't he? And so when that prayer of that sinner is made, it goes to Jesus, and he intercedes for that sinner to God the Father. And God the Father gives the word, yes, receive their salvation back to the Son, and God invites them in. He's never cast anyone out who's come to him in faith and repentance and trusted him. And so, last thing I learned is that somebody needs to care for forgotten people. Someone needs to care for forgotten people. You know, even in America, there's still forgotten people. There's still people here and there that are forgotten. And, you know, churches are really reaching out, quitting to reach out today. And we must never, ever, ever, ever quit reaching out. You say, well, America's hard. Some people are, but there's still some forgotten ones out there. There's still some that need the Lord. And may I tell you what? There are forgotten people all over this world. And you know, we need to have a care for the forgotten people. There are pastors in little churches whose names are never known, and they may average 15, 20, 25, 30 every week, and they've been there for many years, and nobody knows their name. But I want to tell you something. God knows them. Because Jesus said that he is able to save them to the uttermost, to the place where nobody goes, up a river. There's people and tribes all up and down the Amazon because they can get fish there and make a living. And a village is started there. And, you know, Brother Jonathan gets in his boat. He travels to these places, parks his boat, and he goes in there, conducts services, get people saved, and builds them a church. Amen. Brother Lunday, our missionary there, he works with medical missions. They go up and do that. They just started another church along the Amazon River. And why? Because God wants people to go to the uttermost. He wants us to care to the poorest of the poor, to people that are forgotten and don't have the gospel. You know, you and I probably heard the gospel, how to be saved, hundreds of times. But you know, there's people in the world never heard it once. Not once. They're worshiping some false god and hoping that when they die, they'll get to heaven, and they won't. They need Christ. They need people to care about the poor, the needy, the forgotten. I tell you, I learned that. And I want God to infect my heart all the more, because the Bible tells us He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. And you know what? It doesn't matter the size of the church. It matters the heart of the church. That's what matters. We pour our hearts into these things. You know, I know that many of you wanted to go and for whatever reasons just weren't able to. But thank God your heart was in this. And that's the most important thing. And I want to tell you, start saving your pennies. Start saving your pennies, maybe your dollars. Amen? Because we're going to do some more of these. And we want to invite you along. You say, I'm too old. I can't do it. I'm too old. Well, then I'll pick you up and carry you. Amen? Well, I take that back. Somebody will pick you up and carry you. Amen? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. God wants the uttermost saved. I mean, the poorest of the poor. Man, we saw some very, very, very poor people. And your heart breaks for them, not just because they're poor, but because they're poor in salvation. And they need the Lord. And I'll tell you what. Wouldn't it be a blessing for a poor person to one day get to heaven? Poverty's gone. Poverty's gone. And they enter in and they get to walk on streets of gold. And they get to live in a mansion, not some little tin cardboard shack that they slapped together when some cardboard went blowing down the street. But they get to live in mansions. I think that's exciting to me. Because God really loves to turn those tables around and bring those who are poor. And Jesus even said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. What a great thought. And so we can't forget the uttermost. Can't forget the poor. In fact, Jesus said, bring in hither the lame, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Amen? Let's have that kind of burden. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.